Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
The Old Testament uses the word light hundreds of times. Many times the word means physical light. For example, God commanded, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Genesis 1, 3, and 4. The inspired writers also use the word light of goodness and right. Psalm 119, 105 is probably one of the best known examples. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." The psalmist prayed, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." Psalm 43, 3. The New Testament also equates light with righteousness. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, 7. I do not wish to burden you with the technicalities of the Greek language, but it is important to note the significance of present tense verbs in this verse. The verse contains several present tense verbs. William's translation of the New Testament takes into consideration those present tense verbs, while most of the other versions do not. Please listen to Charles Williams' translation of this verse. "But if we continually live in the light, just as he is in the light, we have unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son continues to cleanse us from every sin." If Charles Williams has correctly rendered the Greek, and there really is no doubt about it, several conclusions follow. We must continually walk in the light to have fellowship with one another. The word fellowship means having something in common. If we do not continually walk in the light, we cannot have fellowship with those who do. In other words, fellowship with righteous people is contingent on our walking in the light. And we must continue to walk in the light in order to continue to enjoy the forgiveness of our sins. If these conclusions are correct, would that not mean there is the possibility of falling from grace? Surely no one would maintain that Christians can walk in darkness and still be saved. Tragically, there are prominent theologians who argue that Christians do not have to continue to be holy to have God's approval. Dr. Ron Rhodes' book, The Challenges of the Cult and New Religion, has a section entitled, "Maintaining Holiness is Not a Condition of Salvation." Dr. Rhodes writes, "The view that one must maintain holiness to sustain one's salvation goes against God's gospel of grace as clearly delineated in Scripture." He further states, "Salvation is said to be by faith alone close to 200 times in the New Testament," pages 274 and 275. There are serious problems with Dr. Rhodes' theology. The author of Hebrews demands, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Hebrews 12, 14. When we take into consideration the tenses of the verbs in this verse, it reads, "Continue to follow peace with all men, and continue to maintain holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Besides, not one time in the New Testament does any author claim that salvation is by faith alone. On the contrary, James writes, "Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." You see then how a man is justified by works and not by faith only. James 2, 17 and 24. Tragically, Dr. Rhodes is guilty of promoting what the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer called cheap grace. Will you please take note of what Paul writes about grace? "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Titus 2, 11 and 12. It is not possible to read these verses understandingly and argue that Christians do not have to maintain holiness to be saved. Thank you for listening. May God richly bless you.